Hello and welcome to this video about personal data processing. This presentation will have three main topics. The first one is processing of personal data. I will be talking about the importance of privacy notice and participant consent, followed by some words about the different types of anonymization. When talking about processing personal data, the main purpose of this guidance is to protect the human research subjects. For example, survey respondents. These guidelines are meant to support compliance with the European Union General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, as well as Finland's National Data Protection Act. So, what is personal data? Personal data can be used to identify a living individual. Anonymized data is not considered to be personal data, and that will be an important distinction for making the research data available for other users in the future. What do we mean by the word processing in this context of processing personal data? It means all activities related to the personal data, including their storage and analysis. For personal data, there should be a designated controller. In most cases, the controller is the author of the thesis. In research teams, the controller may be the university or some other organization under which the research is being done. Examples of personal data that can be used to identify a living individual include a photograph or a voice recording. There are some other types of personal data that cannot be used to identify a single individual but can be used to identify groups, for example, ethnic background or nationality, a marital status. And these data items, when combined with other data, may be used to potentially identify an individual. If a data item indicates a very rare disease, for example, that maybe only a few people in the whole country have, then that could be used again when combined with other data to identify an individual. A characteristic physical trait. That could be a direct, strongly indirect, or indirect way to identify someone depending on the trait. For example, a very unusual and visible tattoo could identify an individual, so that could be a direct identifier. We have talked about identifiability a little bit. There is direct identification. In other words, personal data that can be used to directly identify someone. A person's name, for example. Then there is category of strong indirect identification. This type of data item can allow the easy identification of an individual when it is combined with other readily available data. So the previous example of a very rare disease, if it is combined with the participant's small hometown, could be considered a strong indirect identifier. Then there is a third category, indirect identification. In this case, a data item would need to be combined with many other data items before a participant could potentially be identified. There is a certain category of personal data called special personal data. Special personal data are data items that may put an identified participant at risk of some form of discrimination. Examples of special personal data would be their political opinions, ethnic origin, religious convictions, and so on. So, special care should be taken when handling this kind of data as compared with the other types of personal data that would not subject an identified participant to risk of discrimination. In general, good data collection practices should be practiced when performing research. This especially applies to collecting personal data or data from human research subjects. One rule is to collect only the minimum required for the research purpose. Another good practice is to, whenever possible, anonymize the data collected. This can be done by initially collecting the data such that it is anonymous. It should be also possible to pseudonymize the data after it's been collected. It is a requirement to anonymize or pseudonymize the data whenever possible. And finally, keep documentation that records what's done with the data, where the data is stored, and any agreements with other researchers about the use and custody of the data. For the first point about collecting the minimum amount of data that's needed, that would normally be outlined in the research plan of the thesis author, the main researcher or controller of the data. The privacy notice. The idea of the privacy notice is that human research participants must be informed about the processing of their personal data, and the participants must consent to the processing of their personal data. The privacy notice is a template or notice where an explanation is provided to each participant about the information that will be collected, why the information will be collected, how the information will be used, and also how their information will be protected. Again, the privacy notice applies to personal data. The privacy notice for participants is required whenever their personal data will be processed. The collection of personal data must be justified. It must be appropriate for the research, and there must be a plan for how the data will be collected and legal basis for processing the data. In most cases, when we're talking about university research, the justification could be that the collection is carried out in the public interest for scientific research. It may be tempting to ask the participants extra questions supplemental to the research purpose in order to gain as much information as possible. For example, to use for possible future research. However, only the minimum amount of information should be gathered or requested from the participants that is relevant to the research questions. Now, sometimes, for example, in the case of a web survey or other survey where there is an open comment field or text field, a respondent may provide more information than was asked. If that extra information could be used to identify the respondent, then that information should be deleted from the data before processing. This is again the idea of minimizing the data to only what's required for the research. Now, in addition to being provided a privacy notice, the participants must indicate their consent to participating in the study. Examples of consent would be, for example, after receiving the privacy notice, the participant chooses to participate by going to meet the researcher or proceeds to click on the survey link in order to take the survey. Now, about anonymization. There are two different types of anonymization. There is anonymization proper, which essentially is data that cannot be used to identify the individual participant. Anonymization protects or conceals the identities of participants and, as mentioned before, anonymization or pseudonymization must be done whenever possible. It is best to try to initially collect the data that is already anonymous. The main advantage of anonymization from a research and scientific research viewpoints is that it allows the data set to be used later by other researchers. The later usage of anonymous data is permitted under the GDPR. Another important point of anonymization is that anonymous data is not considered to be personal data, and thus it is not subject to personal data processing requirements. So there is freer usage of anonymous research data from a scientific research viewpoint. Pseudonymization means that assuming that direct or strongly indirect data has been collected during the data collection, certain data items are replaced with codes. If names are collected, one could replace John Smith, for example, with respondent 1 in the dataset. Or their hometown, Yolca, could be replaced with a code indicating hometown 3. So, if someone else were to look at the dataset, they would not see names and they would not be able to connect the data items with living individuals or actual hometowns, but the data could still be used. The code key would be stored securely and separately from the data. This is some protection for the personal data from the respondents. Now, even though the data is pseudonymized, it is considered to be personal data and therefore it is subject to the personal data processing requirements described earlier. For research using personal data from human research subjects, an ethical review and a data protection impact assessment may be needed. The University Human Sciences Ethics Committee and the University Registry can give more information about these protocols. So, to summarize, in this presentation I have described personal data, the rules and the requirements for the processing personal data, identifiability, the importance of privacy notice and consent from the respondents, and finally, anonymization and pseudonymization, and the key differences between those two. Thank you for watching, and I wish you success with your research.